Today we come to a section in Mark's Gospel that presents a contrasting response to Jesus, that is dependence or autonomy. Let me pray. Our Father, we pray you'd be with us now to quieten our minds and help us to listen, to truly listen with the help of your Spirit, to understand and also with a desire to respond to the things we hear, that we may honour and glorify our Saviour and Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, wasn't it wonderful to be here to witness Brad's baptism this morning? To hear Brad's story, which is really a story of the work of the living God through his Son and by his Spirit in Brad's life. As I said earlier, Brad's baptism declares, I am depending on Jesus and his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and salvation. I am depending on his Spirit to change and transform me into his likeness, to be Christ-like in character and action. In fact, Mark 10, verses 13 to 16, if you have the Pew Bibles in front of you, it would be great to open in Mark 10. Mark 10, 13 to 16, it's the perfect passage to read and be taught on this day of Brad's baptism. As many of you will know, this little section is the reading we hear every time an infant is baptized in our church. So let me read it once again. It's on the screen behind me as well, if you don't have the Bible in front of you. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. So here we see Jesus' love for children and his willingness to welcome them and bless them in a culture that believed that children should be seen but not heard. Children have low status. Low or no status. They have not yet developed an impressive CV. They do not earn their parents' love. They are loved because they are children. And to really get Jesus' point, they are dependent. They cannot fend for themselves. Little children cannot live independently. They are dependent upon mum and dad for everything, especially when they are really little. And this is the point of Jesus' object lesson. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This does not mean naive gullibility. Christians don't take their brains out and just have faith. Brad is an example of that. You had questions that you wanted answered, and you were unsatisfied with unsatisfactory answers, which led you to further investigation. Sadly, so many people think this is what faith is. They think that faith is the opposite of reason. Reason and logic take you to a certain point, and then from there you step into the realm of blind faith, wishful thinking. But that is not Christian faith. Christian faith is dependence on something, or I should say someone. Someone who is thoroughly dependable. Christian faith is dependent. We depend on Jesus, who has revealed himself as the Son of God, who has died, who has risen, who gathered eyewitnesses to himself, who have recorded in writing what he said and did. This faith is not unreasonable or illogical. It's not like childlike naivety in the same ballpark as Santa and the Easter Bunny. We receive the kingdom of God like a little child in the sense that we thoroughly depend on Jesus, who reveals the kingdom, provides the way into the kingdom, and reigns over the kingdom. We depend on the King of the kingdom that is eternal. That's not so stupid, is it? What would be stupid would be to ignore the King of the kingdom or reject the King of the kingdom. Or naively think that one day when you pass, you're going to rock up to the King of the kingdom and expect to be let in because you weren't so bad a person, that you were better than so-and-so, that on balance you did more good than bad, that you were a somebody in this world, you know, rocking up to God with your CV and saying, take a look at that, God, aren't you impressed? That would be to make the same mistake as the rich young ruler in our next section. Rather than depending on Jesus like a little child, the rich young ruler chooses independence, autonomy. He is a self-made man. The rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honour your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. That's an impressive CV. Jesus looked at him. Next slide. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Is being a good person good enough? On the ladder of goodness, this rich young ruler is right up there. He's at the top of the ladder. He is a good man, at least from a human perspective. He also recognises that Jesus is good. So there's another tick. That's a plus. And he knows that Jesus has the answers when it comes to eternal life. Thus the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But he doesn't really know how good Jesus actually is. Jesus, the divine Son of God, is perfect. God the Father is perfect. And to be able to enter into the presence of the kingdom of God, perfection is required. But the rich young ruler is far from perfect. Yes, by his own self-declaration, which might be a little bit overstated, but by his own self-declaration, he keeps commands 5 to 10 of the Ten Commandments given by God through Moses. That is impressive. Let's call these commands the horizontal commands. The love your neighbour commands. But what about the vertical commands? Commands 1 to 4. Loving God with all his heart, mind, soul and strength. Jesus knows that he has a massive problem here. He loves money and the things that money can buy more than God. He has well and truly broken commands 1 and 2. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. The rich young ruler is worshipping at the altar of the dollar. or the ASX, or the housing price. He is not good. He is a sinner who loves money more than God. And the tragedy of this story is he is unwilling to repent. He loves his wealth more than Jesus. He wants to remain independent, not dependent. Autonomous, calling the shots, depend on no one. He is a self-made man. And I'm afraid to say that this tragedy continues. This man is a picture of our culture, love of money and the things that money buys over and above the love of God, an unwillingness to depend, an unwillingness to acknowledge fault, an unwillingness to repent, an unwillingness to follow Jesus, that is, to put him in charge of your life, allowing him to call the shots, not you. Autonomy, self-rule, self-government, autonomy. But ultimately, sadness. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. But not every rich man or woman's story needs to end this way. Jesus has a lesson for his disciples and us. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. By the way, they are amazed because in Jewish culture, prosperity was a sign that God's blessing was upon a person or a family. So in their minds, if anyone was a part of the kingdom of God, it was the rich, because God was blessing them. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." God can do a miraculous work in a rich person. In any person, really, he can change a person's heart. From loving money before all else to loving God before all else. From being independent, autonomous, self-made, to depending on Christ for salvation and following him. Being generous, investing in the kingdom. Such a radical transformation requires the work of God. And Peter is an example of this. He walked away from his fishing business to follow Jesus. Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first." This word here is really for Peter and the original disciples and for those who follow Jesus into full-time gospel ministry. So I speak personally for a moment. Since leaving our family homes, Debbie and I, which now have both been sold, so we don't really know where kind of home is anymore, Debbie and I have lived in Castle Hill when I served at St. Paul's Carlingford, Croydon, when we were at Bible College, Moss Vale, when I finished college and we served at Moss Vale and Berrima, Warunga, in two church homes there in our 11 years there, one magnificent Federation home, the King School, a beautiful cottage in the bush with a combustion fire, which we loved, and now 51 Myora Road in wonderful Terry Hills. And along the way, we have been hosted in people's homes on missions, We have been generously offered and taken holidays in family holiday homes. We have experienced the blessing and generosity and hospitality of belonging to church family, and I'm sure you have too. I'm sure you have too, to a certain extent. But as you know, there's a sting in the tail to Jesus' words, a realistic warning that comes to those who leave everything for Christ and his gospel. Persecutions, Jesus says. Rich blessing, generosity from the family of God, but persecutions on top. It's not the life of comfort. It's not the life of ease. There are many blessings, but there is also this promise of persecution. Standing up for Jesus and his gospel has a cost. You won't always be liked. You will be opposed. And sometimes that opposition gets nasty. Painful things happen. You can lose your home. But we must move on. We must continue to serve Christ and his gospel as we look forward to the age to come, eternal life. Eternity is the perspective. So we all humble ourselves and press on, depending on the Lord, not living independently of him, reminding ourselves as others go past us and achieve more in this world and accumulate more in this world. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.